Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A black Texas woman is dead after a white Fort Worth police officer shoots her in her own home on Saturday. The officer was investigating after a neighbor called and reported that a door was open at the woman's home. That neighbor now says he's sorry he ever made the call. Police have also now disclosed there was somebody else in the room when that 28-year-old woman was shot.
An 8-year-old male, Miss Jefferson's nephew, was inside the room during this time.
A lawyer for the family of 28-year-old victim of Tatiana Jefferson says the fact that they use deadly force in that situation is absurd. Emergency officials in New Orleans say they'll work as long as it takes to find a man they think may still be alive underneath the debris from the partially collapsed Hard Rock Hotel, part of it coming down on Saturday, killing two workers and trapping that third. This is USA Radio News.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. According to a Bank of America survey, women entrepreneurs are poised to end 2019 on a high note, with 84% anticipating year-over-year revenue growth. Future revenue projections and expansion plans have reached 4-year highs and are stronger among women business owners than their male counterparts. Bank of America executive Sharon Miller shares her perspectives on the research.
Women business owners see a bright future for their businesses, anticipating revenue growth and expansion opportunities in the year ahead. However, there is still work to be done, as many say work-life balance, access to capital, and pay equality remain issues. They identified having more women in powerful positions of influence as a factor that could help pave the way for the next generation of women entrepreneurs. At Bank of America, we intend to do our part by providing the opportunities and resources women need to help launch and grow their businesses.
For more information about the Bank of America Women Business Owner Spotlight, visit bankofamerica.com.
There's strong bipartisan support for new strong sanctions on Turkey because of its incursion into Syria. Republican Representative Liz Cheney.
I think it's crucially important for the Turks to understand that there is broad bipartisan support here in Washington, D.C., that they've got to stop this incursion. We've got to be in a situation where we are very focused on the over 5 dozen, it seems, high-value ISIS prisoners. We do not want them to return. We do not want a resurgence of ISIS. President Trump's actions to defeat the caliphate were very important, but we've got to recognize the importance of making sure that we maintain our presence there.
She was speaking on Fox and Friends. Well, today is a federal holiday, Columbus Day. Most federal offices, banks, and post offices are closed because of it. A number of cities and states are celebrating it as Indigenous Peoples Day, honoring Native Americans killed during European colonialism. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Sesame Street is taking on addictions like the opioid epidemic from a child's perspective. USA's John Clemens reports.
My mom needs help learning to take better care of herself, so she talks to people with the same problem.
That's the character of Carly as she explains why she was in foster care, because her mom couldn't take care of her, but is now attending meetings to help her with her addiction. Carly goes on to explain she, too, is attending meetings.
I go to a special kids-only meeting. Our parents all have the same problem.
The issue of addiction is part of the Sesame Street and Communities Project. I'm John Clemens.
Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards is preparing to face a Republican challenger in a runoff election. USA's Chris Barnes reports.
The Democrat Bel Edwards received 46% of the vote in the Saturday balloting, but he needed to exceed 50% to avoid a runoff in November.
I'm excited because tonight we are one step closer to 4 more years of moving Louisiana forward.
Bel Edwards will now face Republican Eddie Rasponi in that runoff. Rasponi, a Baton Rouge businessman. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Don't forget, you can listen to the news anytime by logging on to usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Packages start at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as a dollar a day. Call right now for your home security consultation. 800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop here. What's that sound?
Okay, time to talk Turkey, okay? And we're going to talk Syria as well. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here, as promised. Lieutenant Colonel Sargis Sangari is with us, the CEO of the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement and the founder of the nonprofit, the Assyrian Initiative. Sargis, always good to have you with us. How are you?
Good, Bill. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, right now, boy, I'll tell you, there's quite the division in terms of perception of what's happening, and I know that you could bring some clarity. I mean, you've been there. You're there. You've been defending the Assyrians, as we've talked for many, many years, and here it is. And you told me, you said, Erdogan is moving slowly, deliberately, but sooner or later, his true colors will come out. And they seem to be coming out now like never before.
Well, look, Erdogan is the one that funded and supplied and supported ISIS. We know this because when our Delta forces went in and killed Abu Sayyaf in Syria, we realized that both Erdogan and their Kurds were actually in the process of moving ISIS oil through the Kurdish regional government administered areas south of the Sinjar line from Syria into Iraq up into the north, and he was selling it on the cheap to the Europeans. When he realized that wasn't going to be the piece that's going to fund them as far as his financial gains are concerned and solidify his footprint within the region, he started releasing refugees that he created himself from the ISIS fight into Europe. And currently he's moving into Syria, where he's going to probably have to also eventually move into Iraq all the way down to the Sinjar line to protect his backside, to ensure that all the ISIS operators that initially he created are the ones that are not going to be a destabilizing factor for him. Mm-hmm. Looking at 10,000 ISIS fighters that are probably released by now, and those 10,000 plus their wives, children, and the women that were brought in from Eastern Europe to service these ISIS fighters, around 80,000 are going to eventually make their way back into Turkey. Either Turkey is going to have to keep them and count for them, given the current U.S. policy towards Turkey, or Turkey is going to release them back up again into Europe, more of a destabilizing factor for us in the long run.
And that's exactly what he's threatened to do, as Erdogan has says, look, it, if you don't go along with what I'm doing, I'm going to release, I'm going to release all these refugees into Europe.
He will. In the first anniversary article we wrote for the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement going back to 2015, we pointed this out. So it's a new weapon, the refugees, or basically they're moving money or holding people hostage, in this case Europe. But Europe has itself to blame, the fact that it was broken deals with Turkey for oil on the cheap, and all that oil was ISIS oil. The people actually moved that ISIS oil through their administered regions or the Kurds, which is one of the reasons that the president said, I'm not going to be part of this fight, and I'm going to pull out. As you notice yourself, that the second we pulled out of the region, the Kurds that were supposedly our allies brokered a deal with Assad's regime, with the Russians.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And the problem that the Kurds have is that currently the Turkish operations are in northern Syria. The majority of those are conducted by the Free Syrian Army, which Turkey is paying for. And there's a lot of Kurds that are within that army that are fighting the Kurds of PKK, their rivals in the region, and killing each other as they have done for centuries.
Sargas, it's very complicated when we talk the Middle East, and especially in this particular arena of the Middle East, especially now it's as embattled as it is. The West has a very difficult time understanding it. And you and I think the last time we talked about in order to understand foreign policy, you must understand the backyard wars. And this is what's been going on, you know, it seems like for thousands of years. You've had these backyard wars going and all this juxtaposition, and then America comes in and we're trying to make sense out of it. And we're trying to make sense out of something that's nonsensical, aren't we?
We are. The problem is that we go in with our hearts, wearing it on our sleeves, trying to really help these people who don't want our help. They just want our money. Mm-hmm. Their loyalties belong to others. They're tribal. When we provided our Air Force for the Kurdish in the 1990s in order for them to be secure from Saddam's assaults against them, the first thing that the Kurds did, the Barzani family clan, which is their tribal group, and the Jalal Talabani tribal group, they killed each other in the mountains of northern Iraq to the tune of thousands, 10,000 to 20,000 were killed. Mm-hmm. It was Madam Albright who grabbed him, brought him to the table, said, look, we're providing our air force as your air force. We're going to give you a regional government. You got to learn to behave and work together. Today, even before we pulled our forces out of Syria, Turkey was conducting bombing campaigns against the PKK Kurds, which is another tribal faction, in northern Iraq, who was supporting them as spotters by Zaini Kurds that were supporting the Turks to call in fire missions or airstrikes against those villages that the PKK Kurds were in. Why? Because internally, these tribal groups are all jockeying to see who's going to be the lead, specifically to be the lead to get the U.S. dollars and backing for their benefit and their family's benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a problem that you have to constantly deal with when it comes to these issues and problems within the region.
Right. Help us understand the Kurds, because you know, in some respects, people have felt, and I felt a little this way too. So I'm open for some better understanding. Is that this, in some sense, the abandonment of the Kurds? You have a feeling, at least because of the counter argument that's taking place in the Beltway, is that this is a little bit of Saigon, 2.0.
No, it's not Saigon 2.0. We've always been there for the Kurds. As the Kurds have never been with us. They've taken our money, but their hearts always belong to the Russians. Within a span of 24 hours after we leave the battlefield in Syria, the Kurds strike a deal with the Assad regime, basically telling us that they were never seriously on our side. The only reason they wanted us there for our soldiers to die on the battlefields of Syria was for them to be able to strengthen their position to have an administered region for themselves, separate from our wants and desires for the foreign policy for the entire region to have a functional peace. The Kurds are today killing each other on the battlefields of Syria. Mm-hmm. They're just being proxies for other nations. They do this constantly. The like I told you, they were actually flowing ISIS oil into Turkey for a beneficial strike for themselves economically. These are not individuals that you can really trust. At the end of the day, I always say, if you're going to be committed to a fight and have our young men and women die on those battlefields, we have to have true enduring partners. And none of these individuals are true enduring partners. In March of this year, the Kurds were in Syria, who were supposed to be our allies, were walking Iranian intel offices through military posts and bases that we created for them, built for them, and pointing out where the U.S. positions are. We cannot operate these people.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so, and with the Kurds, I mean, you say there are many factions within this, so it's not like there's a predominant part of the Kurds that we can rely on.
No,
is that
the only
fair?
Ones they care about is themselves.
Sagar Sangari is with us, and look, to understand foreign policy, as he says, you must understand the backyard wars, and the West has a hard time really understanding, because I think, in part, we want to impose our perspective on the Middle East, and that's a loser every time. We've got more from the Lieutenant Colonel after this.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You know, most people don't know they're missing the most important nutritional components in their diet. You know, if we really want to feel good and not miss work and get the most of each day, then we need the immune and growth factors in bovine colostrum. As a newborn, colostrum passes on immunity from our mother's lineage. It helps our body recognize when we're under attack and fights all those nasty microbes we're exposed to from birth. But the most important job colostrum does for newborns is to seal our GI tract. Unfortunately, it doesn't stay sealed. Leaky gut affects 8 out of 10 people, passing undigested foods, germs, and toxins into our bloodstream. It happened to me and caused unbelievable trauma to my immune system and gut. Fortunately, Sovereign Laboratories Colostrum LD can help. Taken daily as part of a healthy lifestyle, Colostrum LD can help you feel good every day. I feel great on this product. To learn more, go to PreventLeakyGut.com. That's PreventLeakyGut.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Someone once said, live free or die. Right? Bill Martinez, live.
You know, I've always maintained in any endeavor, you must have a fair chance to win. Because of my father, you know, because he knew my competitive nature, I used to look at it as that I win and you lose, but my father really drummed into me quite seriously and repeatedly that things should be win-win, that both sides should win. You can always find that ground where both sides win. It doesn't have to be somebody winning at somebody else's expense. And here we are talking about the Middle East, and relevant to that core value of having a fair chance to win, Sarga Sangari, the United States finds itself again in a repeated situation where they really don't have a fair chance to win, because there's so many nuances, and as you point out very clearly in trying to get the West to understand, is that is that there is so much yet to understand that's nuanced about what's going on. I say nuanced, but some of it is just pretty much straight up. You got the Hatfields and the McCoys, and in this case, it's the Sunni and Shia that are in each other's throat, and that still is the basis of a lot of this conflict that's going on there in the Middle East, is it not?
Yeah, that's actually true. I've used that term before, the Hatfield and McCoys, but it's not just Sunni and Shia. It is various different tribal factions. Mm-hmm. The Kurds are broken up into different tribal factions. Kurds are killing Kurds currently in Syria. A group of Kurds are fighting with the Turks. The other group is now joining the Assad regime because we left the region. Kurds in northern Iraq, they're against the PKK Kurds. They're Barzani Kurds. Are supporting the Turks' bombing efforts to kill PKK Kurds. Mm-hmm. Kurds have killed Kurds to the tongues of tens of thousands. How can you trust individuals who kill each other all the time to be able to be a long and enduring partner for you?
Yeah, and you're going to put your own resources and your own men and women on the line for that?
Correct. And look, a couple of years ago, before we finally flipped the script on the Kurds, there was internal fighting in the Barzani family structure, where you had individuals who had risen up against them and wanted to replace them as the head of the party. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, suddenly an ISIS camp appears that supposedly is holding Kurdish captives in it. We commit our Delta operators and Navy SEALs because the KRG requests us to go in and support and save these Kurds, innocent Kurds who are being held captive. We go in, we lose some of our operators, there's no Kurds on site. And at the end of the day, we realize that these type of operations were being pushed. Why? Because Barzani can turn around and say, look, U.S. is still with me. I should be in the lead. Everybody else who's trying to have a voice within my own family structure to replace me as a lead of this political party needs to shut up. And I'm not going to get our boys killed because somebody wants to ride our skirt tails or use our rank capability on their sleeves.
Exactly.
In order to be able to justify their future.
Well, let me ask you something here. What comes to mind very quickly is the question of who gassed the Kurds. Remember the video that we saw, thousands of Kurds lying dead in the street, and they were saying Assad gassed them. Did Assad, or was it the Kurds themselves doing it to themselves?
No, I mean, you had nation state capabilities that did those gassings, but two major individuals that were referred to as Kurds. One was the so-called Kurdish man who was yelling at Baker when Baker had gone to visit the refugees. It wasn't even a Kurd. It was actually an Assyrian.
Mm.
But for information operational perspective, they named him a Kurd. At the same time, a majority of Halabja, where the chemical bombs had been dropped, were actually Christian Assyrians. But they were all lumped to as being Kurds because we started courting the Kurds back in the 60s, and it was more important for us from an information operation campaign to give the credit to them. I don't want to just pile on the Kurds because Turkey has a lot to be blamed in this process too. But
all I'm trying to do right now is for people to kind of hold in perspective, Sargas, and I appreciate you going through this process, helping us understand, you know, Kurdish involvement and what we're dealing with, because we hear the outrage coming from the Beltway and from our congressmen, citing instances of Vietnam once again, and I think that even worse than Vietnam is the fact that, as you've pointed out very clearly, is that we don't, you know, the West does not have a clear understanding of who the Kurds represent, and also the play that Turkey is doing right now.
The Kurds don't know who they represent. There's no long-term goal for them. They're constantly fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we just end up making them multimillionaires, and then all our money ends up back into Washington, D.C., and within Maryland, where they go in and buy the most expensive houses for themselves. So one day, when they're no longer in power, they could basically retire in the U.S. with the dollars that we gave them on the sacrifice of our soldiers.
And, exactly.
And mm-hmm. that needs to stop. And I think in the long run, you cannot look at it from a short-term perspective. The Kurds mm-hmm. have been killing people and dying in the process going back since the 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. That's not going to change. I think the current POTUS needs to look at a long-term process and say, look, we're not going to be committed to these type of fights. Settle your issues on the ground and do us a favor. When we give you and build your multi-bases, try not to walk Iranian intel officers and point out where the U.S. positions are in Syria. I mean, that doesn't work for us. Try not to sell ISIS oil to your administered areas. When we give you weapons and we tell the Christians and Yazidis to serve in the Peshmerga for you, try not to pick up their weapons in the middle of the night and abandon the battlefield, allowing them to get massacred by ISIS. When we tell you, do not try to separate from Iraq, help us to reestablish this nation for the betterment of all the minorities. Don't try to strike some kind of a referendum where you cheated the vote to try to separate from Iraq without having even having a constitution for this new nation that you're trying to establish. So we cannot work with individuals we cannot trust. And as long as those individuals have constantly taken our money, but their hearts belong to the Russians, we're not going to get anywhere.
Exactly. Sargis, what about the impending sanctions that Congress wants to level on Erdogan? What happens here?
Erdogan should be sanctioned. He deserves it. He's the one who funded ISIS. Majority of the ISIS operators didn't appear by magic. They did not teleport into Syria. They landed in Turkey. They crossed the line because he allowed the borders to be open. And as I was getting ISIS oil from the Kurdish regional government, which was selling to Europe, he was turning around and using some of that money to feed and give weapons to the ISIS operators that were moving into Syria. I mean, we have open source pictures of the ISIS operators vacationing on the beaches of Turkey. And what does he do? He turns around when he doesn't get his way and release these ISIS operators into Europe who are responsible for the attacks that are taking place all the way from Germany to Belgium to Sweden and to France. So this is the reality of who Turkey, this NATO ally, is. And I am glad that they're now involved in the combat operations in Syria because they need to take ownership of all these ISIS fighters. And the second those ISIS fighters get a release into Europe, I think it's a time to finally bury Turkey and bury their economy because obviously Erdogan doesn't understand. And frankly, if Erdogan had never invaded into Syria, we would have never been in a position where we could finally bring him to heel when it comes to our desires within the region.
Is that why he's doing this, because he sees the writing on the wall here?
Well, he's doing it because he always wanted to be the head of the caliphate. He does know that he needs to expand into Syria, but he also would have to expand into Iraq. As much as the Kurds in Iraq are fighting to kill the Kurds in Syria, which are part of PKK, at the same time, the back door that was initially open for them to move money directly into Europe and oil is how they also funnel some support and resources back to their PKK partners. The guy is killing you at 1 second to take money from you and support you the next second. This is who these people are.
And this is tough because, I mean, here they are supposedly a NATO partner. So what kind of NATO partner is Erdogan in Turkey? Not a very good one, are they?
No, they're on Erdogan only cares about himself.
Well, that's to kind of sum it up and give you a ground floor perspective. Lieutenant Colonel Sargis Sangari has been our guest. As he says, to understand the foreign policy, you must understand the backyard wars, and they are plentiful right there in the Middle East. The Iranian-born former U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel understands how Turkey, Syria, and Iran thinks. Sargis, thank you very much for being
here. Now that the Fed has cut interest rates by 0.25%, chances are you're paying too much for your mortgage or those high-interest credit cards. Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middleman and no wasted time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates we've seen in 10 years. So now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A black Texas woman is dead after a white Fort Worth police officer shoots her in her own home on Saturday. The officer was investigating after a neighbor called and reported that a door was open at the woman's home. That neighbor now says he's sorry he ever made the call. Police have also now disclosed there was somebody else in the room when that 28-year-old woman was shot.
An 8-year-old male, Miss Jefferson's nephew, was inside the room during this time.
A lawyer for the family of 28-year-old victim Tatiana Jefferson says the fact that they use deadly force in that situation is absurd. Emergency officials in New Orleans say they'll work as long as it takes to find a man they think may still be alive underneath the debris from the partially collapsed Hard Rock Hotel. Part of it coming down on Saturday, killing two workers and trapping that third. This is USA Radio News.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip, or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
America, Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you know where to go, BillMartinezLive.com. That is the place. And if you're so inclined, we always love to hear from you. You can drop me an email, Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Hey, the question right now is, are you Red Cross ready? Okay? The American Red Cross is here to provide tips on how to prepare ahead of an emergency. And they're going to be talking live on site from the American Cross Situation Room. First of all, a little background here. Emergencies are more common than people may think, and disasters can happen anywhere, anytime. While we can't impact the course of these storms, we can help support communities and families staying safe through proper planning, which is why the American Red Cross and Clorox are encouraging everyone to be Red Cross ready. As this year has already seen an active hurricane season, Red Cross is encouraging everyone to follow three action steps to prepare for a disaster. First, you build a kit, make a plan, and be informed. Now, Trevor Riggin is going to be joining us. He's the Senior VP of Disaster Cycle Services, and he's here right now. Let's bring him on. Trevor, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks so much for having us and for making preparedness part of today's conversation.
Well, this is awesome. We really appreciate you coming on because history is rather clear. And what it has taught us in that those who are prepared are the ones that are most successful in coming out the other end.
You're exactly right. And we've seen, just you mentioned this past year, we've already seen devastating storms all across the country. The Midwest, we had really awful tornado season, flooding up and down the Mississippi River. And then we're right in the midst of hurricane season with 2 months left. We've already had a bunch of named storms in both the Gulf and the Mid-Atlantic, and so it's really the best time right now to get prepared and make sure you have what you need for you and your family.
Well, prepare is the word. So what can people do to prepare in advance of an emergency and be Red Cross ready?
Absolutely. And you mentioned the three basic action steps of build a kit, make a plan, and stay informed. And to build a kit, you really just need to pull together some basic items that you may already have in your house. Make sure you have supplies on hand. So water, non-perishable food, flashlight, extra batteries are really important because you may go through an extended power outage. A multi-purpose tool, and then bleach. Bleach is something we don't always think about, but if you don't have a clean water supply, a few drops of bleach could make that water potable. It can also be used to fight mold as you clean up after a flood or other disaster. And we do urge you to follow those instructions very carefully for dilution, but again, that very basic emergency kit can be life-saving after a disaster.
Yeah, you even mentioned a crank radio. Boy, I haven't seen a crank radio in a long time.
Well, as I mentioned, you can lose power for hours or even days. Mm-hmm. And a crank radio can make sure you stay informed. So you make sure you have connections to local authorities, you get news around evacuation orders, or power outages or other really critical information. That's a really important piece of your kit.
Now, as far as the kit, you say for a number of days, is it like a 7-day type of allowance? Is that the minimum, Trevor? Or how many days should we prepare for?
Yes, we really ask you to plan for two different things. So if you live in Florida, for example, and hurricane evacuations could be very common during the summer and fall, we really ask you to plan for 3 days of supplies for that evacuation. So water, for example, is a gallon of water per person per day. So you'd need that for 3 days. But to keep at home, to have on hand, we really ask you to plan for 2 weeks. So you could have an extended disaster, or if you live in California, for example, and you have an earthquake, you want to have an extended amount of supplies. Should utilities and other resources go down, you've got those resources on hand for an extended period.
Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense. So if you have a, so to speak, a bug-out bag is what we refer to, and you need to hit the ground running, then you're at least covered for 3 days, but something at home for a couple of weeks, right?
That's right, and you want to make sure you keep those in a place. You remember where it is, you know how to grab it, but you're not digging into it and using those supplies each and every day. But it's important to have. And a good way to do that for the evacuation is keep one in your car. Keep a small kit in your car where you have those supplies in your trunk. So if you do need to, as you said, bug out, you've got those kits on hand and ready to go.
Exactly. And you say make a plan. Break that down.
So make a plan is really easy. So it's really just having a conversation with your family or whoever else lives in your household to talk through what are you going to do after disaster? What's your plan? Especially important to talk through how you're going to get back together. How are you going to reunify? So most families, part of the families at work during the day or school, some may be at home. So how do you get back in touch with each other? What's the meeting place?
Yes.
That you may meet up after disaster and make sure you have that all talked through with every member of your household.
I cannot tell you and stress enough, Trevor, with past experience, how important a meeting place is, because there is, the feeling when your family is in different places and you don't know where they are and you can't connect with them, that is very disturbing.
No, that's exactly right. And it's nothing else matters, right? When you can't find your family, you don't know how to get in touch with them, it's hard to take any other steps. And so that's really one of the most important things you can do, especially with your children and their schools. Making sure you understand their plan and where those reunification points are is really, really critical.
Well, I'll tell you, and the factor of being informed, you know, we talked about a crank radio, and, you know, that's important. But also I like the Red Cross Emergency app. Tell us about that.
So we encourage everyone to download the Red Cross Emergency app. It's really simple. You can go on the iTunes store or the Android store and pick that up for free. It has over 35 customizable severe weather alerts for different types of disasters, so hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, wildfires. You can set up those alerts both where you live or also where your family lives, anywhere in the country, so you can get alerts to know what's going on. It's also got critical life-saving information, first aid information for before, during, and after the disaster. And it's so easy to have. It's always in your pocket. It can really be life-saving in a disaster.
I also like that you remind us, even if you haven't been trained in first aid or it's been a while, because I was thinking about this last season myself, and I didn't get a chance to do it, but I think I got to do this, is to take another refresher course on first aid and CPR.
I'd say there's nothing worse than being in an emergency where you want to help, but you don't know how. And so getting trained in first aid and CPR is a simple way to be ready to help when the time comes. It gives you a sense of confidence to the family to make sure someone in your household can provide some life-saving care should something happen, not just in a disaster, but every day with emergencies that can occur. And so you can visit request.org to find out more about getting trained in first aid and CPR. That's a really important step to stay informed.
Let's talk again about the supplies that everyone, you know, should have at home on hand.
Absolutely. So we talked about the water. So the water, a gallon per person per day, and that's really important to make sure you have that on hand. That, you know, every couple of months you kind of check that water supply and make sure it's still safe and secure, that it's not getting too hot or cold wherever you're keeping it. Food and non-perishable items. So this could be cans of vegetables or fruit, something that will keep or is easy to prepare meals that you can keep on hand, cup of soup, those types of things. Flashlights, the most important part about a flashlight is the batteries. As we all know, when power goes out, everything loses its charge, so having just that old-fashioned flashlight with some spare batteries on hand could be really critical. A multi-purpose tool, like a Leatherman or other tool that you can use, is really important. And then the bleach. It may not seem like a natural thing to have in your kit, but a small bottle of bleach that can be really critical should the water supply be impacted. You can make sure you're ready to have safe and drinkable water.
Well, these are great tips and reminders, and we're grateful for Trevor Riggin being with us. He's been with the Red Cross for more than 9 years, has a reputation as a resourceful leader who has been a key driver in implementing organizational changes throughout the country to improve disaster response and recovery. Trevor, tell us about the partnership with Clorox.
So Clorox is just a tremendous partner. They've been partnering with us in the American Red Cross for more than 40 years, and they're also a $1 million annual donation partner. What they do, though, when disaster strikes both here and here in the U.S. and around the world, they make sure we have bleach and other items on hand to get to families who need it the most, and they do that by the truckload. Mm-hmm. Right when we need them, they show up, and they've just been an amazing partner, and we're so thankful to have Clorox alongside of us to make sure the Red Cross has what we need mm-hmm. to respond when communities need us.
Well, where can people go for more information? I know they've probably been taking notes, but they may have missed a line or two. So let's direct them where they can get all the information they need to know, Trevor.
Thank you, Bill. It's really easy. Clorox.com/Red Cross Ready. You can go to that website and find all sorts of information on what to do before, during, and after. It'll have all the preparedness tips, including details on your emergency kit, what to put in it, and how to be prepared and stay informed.
Okay, family, you know what this is all about. Time to be Red Cross ready, okay? Check it out. Trevor Riggin, Senior VP of Disaster Cycle Services with the American Red Cross, has been our guest. Trevor, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Be safe out there.
Thank you very much, Bill.
You got it.
So when people first hear about MediShare, they have questions.
Some good ones, like, what is it?
Well, MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's not health insurance. It's a different way of doing things, which leads us to this question. Why do so many become MediShare members? Two big reasons. They save a lot. The typical family saves $500 a month, and they feel great about it. With MediShare, you aren't forced to pay for things you don't believe in. Find out more. 855-SHARE-40. That's 855-SHARE-40.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. According to a Bank of America survey, women entrepreneurs are poised to end 2019 on a high note, with 84% anticipating year-over-year revenue growth. Future revenue projections and expansion plans have reached four-year highs and are stronger among women business owners than their male counterparts. Bank of America executive Sharon Miller shares her perspectives on the research.
Women business owners see a bright future for their businesses, anticipating revenue growth and expansion opportunities in the year ahead. However, there is still work to be done, as many say work-life balance, access to capital, and pay equality remain issues. They identified having more women in powerful positions of influence as a factor that could help pave the way for the next generation of women entrepreneurs. At Bank of America, we intend to do our part by providing the opportunities and resources women need to help launch and grow their businesses.
For more information about the Bank of America Women Business Owner Spotlight, visit bankofamerica.com.
Dan Perkins here with your songs and stories for soldiers, veterans tip of the day. Did you get a flu shot last year? If you answered no, you don't have an excuse this year. The VA and Walgreens have teamed up to make flu shots free for veterans. Here's your veterans tip of the day. Protect yourself by getting a flu shot at Walgreens for free. Protect yourself. Get a flu shot. Last year, 80,000 Americans died from flu. The life you save just might be your own. This is Dan Perkins with your songs and stories for soldiers, veterans tip of the day.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
It's about time someone had the courage to say it. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. It's all right there, along with all our podcasts and interesting guests. I mean, we work hard bringing on these great guests for you. And these are experts, whether they're best-selling authors or experts in their policy fields and that, like Sargas Sangari. I mean, you know, you got somebody from the front who comes right off the field of battle and knows firsthand what's going on in the Middle East. I mean, how valuable is that? I mean, talk about hearing it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. And, you know, and in the realm of entertainment, you know, we bring them all to you and they're all right there. You can resource them, download absolutely free because we're givers, okay? It's our gift to you. Enjoy, share, and, you know, be knowledgeable about what's going on here in our country, especially in the body politic as to, you know, what's happening. Adam Holtz is with us. He's the director for Focus on the Family's PluggedIn.com reviews. And we're going to be taking a look at some new movies. And, hey, look, it's the Joker number one again, Adam, at the box office for the second week in a row.
Yeah, you know, as much as I would like to say that I hoped the controversy might put some, you know, throw a damper on this a little bit, mm-hmm. Joker has kind of caught the culture's imagination. And
what is it about it that it does? I mean, it's a rather insane movie. I mean, I haven't seen it, but the trailers and what others have told me about, I'm going, why would you want to spend that kind of time with something that, you know, how redeeming is this movie?
Yeah, well, it's not very redeeming. I think give credit to Warner Brothers for doing something that I think generated buzz because it was out of the box. You know, all these superhero movies, they all sort of start to feel the same after a while, Bill. Mm-hmm. And honestly, Joker is a different kettle of fish altogether. And it harkens back in some ways to Heath Ledger's, you know,
exactly,
Joker in The Dark mm-hmm. Knight.
Right. And, of course, we know what happened to Heath.
We know what happened to Heath. And I think a lot of critics have really heaped praise on Joaquin Phoenix's depiction of Joker. So, you know, I think there are some factors here that are contributing to its success. I think it's definitely generating cultural buzz. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's a pretty bleak, violent, extraordinarily R-rated film.
What is it that attracts us to such darkness?
You know, that's a great question. Edgar Allan Poe had a word for a phrase for it. He called it the spirit of perverseness.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about our fallenness, about our sin, about the things that we grapple with that is appealing to us.
Mm-hmm.
It may be the same impulse that makes us look at a car accident when we drive by, that rubbernecking.
Yeah.
We don't want to see it, but we have a perverse curiosity about how dark something can be. And I'm not a fan of Edgar Allan Poe, but I think that phrase, the spirit of perverseness,
mm-hmm.
really captures, you know, this dark impulse to see something that's violent, that's forbidden, that is in some ways transgressive.
Well, for me, see, I, especially right now, when you hear about so much teen suicide and, you know, violence that's going on, it's like, do we really need a movie that is so psychotic?
Yeah.
And when we're dealing with mental instability to the level that we are today, we need some. It's like we're pouring, you know, fuel on the fire here.
No, and that's exactly what I felt like when I walked out of it. I thought,
okay, all right,
this is a movie that pours gasoline on all sorts of fires that are raging. And I think, you know, the creator of the film, the guy who wrote and directed it, he expressed something that we hear a lot from creatives, and that is the idea that we're just reflecting the culture. And, okay, if I want to take that at face value, I can say, yeah, you are reflecting things that are happening in the culture. But by the same token, I think the idea that art merely reflects and doesn't reinforce is a very self-serving understanding. We know that art reinforces prevailing moral attitudes. Youth culture expert Walt Mueller, he has an organization called the Center for Parent Youth Understanding. He says that entertainment acts as a map. You know, it shows us where we are, but it also acts as a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it shows us what's going on in our hearts. And so I think it does that. It does reflect what's actually happening, but it becomes, you know, a roadmap for where we're going, and it reinforces things that, in this case, I feel like are pretty irresponsible. And I don't want to be...
And I'm glad you said that, because I was going to say, this is an issue of responsibility.
Totally.
Right? I mean, it's okay, so what do you want to contribute to the culture? Do you want to exacerbate the problem, or do you want to try to solve the problem and be an encouragement to the parents who are dealing with children that are mentally unstable?
Right. No, I
mean, because the pain that the families are going through in dealing with an unstable child is beyond your comprehension. But, you know, for the sake of the big screen and making some money and saying I'm all that in a bag of chips, I mean, so what? They're just, you know, the necessary collateral damage that goes with your expression and lack of responsibility?
Well, and I think that's right. And I think the other thing that's disingenuous is this idea that we want to let entertainment off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, look, you don't want to let it off the hook. You want it to be the biggest thing out there.
Right.
You want it to get publicity. You want it to make millions of dollars. And so there's hypocrisy there, too. Even if they really believe that these things don't influence people, you're still foisting a message on people and themes that you are hoping to take advantage of financially.
Mm. And of course they influence people. I mean, let's...
And of course they influence people.
Exactly.
I mean, it's such a self-serving argument, Bill.
Mm.
But
yes.
We hear it all the time. Oh, we're just reflecting what's happening in the culture. Everybody knows it's just a fantasy and you're not going to actually go do this stuff. Well, no, everybody doesn't know that.
Right. Yeah, tell all those families whose daughters, you know, committed suicide as a result of that Netflix series.
Yeah. No, that's right. And honestly, I think it was easier to make a case for that show trying to have an anti-suicide message than something like Joker, which is just so unapologetically nihilistic.
Yeah, it's pretty overt.
You know, I think if you're struggling with suicidal ideation, this is not the movie you want to go see.
Exactly.
Because it might push you over the edge.
No, it's pretty crazy. Adam's Family, number two. Huh?
Adam's Family, number
two. Not a bad showing, $30 million.
Yeah, and, you know, not a bad showing. It was a disappointment from our perspective, Bill, because it had more really kind of dark spiritual stuff than we were expecting. There's, you know, a Ouija board to talk to the dead. There's a little altar to worship, you know, a demon toy. It's just, I think if families are not really prepared for that level of spirituality, they might kind of be surprised here. And so
this isn't your TV show version of Addams Family, right?
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, this is an animated version, and so you might think it's going to be lighter and more family-friendly. And it's, you know, on the whole, it's not terrible. It's exactly what you would have expected. But we were a little taken aback by some of the spiritual stuff here.
Well, you know, you talk about reflecting the culture. I think more so it just reflects the creative forces in Hollywood these days.
No, I think it does. And I think, again, there is that urge toward the transgressive. There's that urge toward, you know, we can't just do something nice and fun and light.
How about doing something really creative, huh? I mean, to me, again, like you and I have discussed before, this is like turning up the volume and getting distortion on your guitar and acting like a musician.
You know,
it's like, can you hit the pure notes? Can you come up with something that is absolutely creative that really challenges the rest of the creative forces in Hollywood to say, man, that's outside of the box. It is creative, and maybe they start a new genre or at least some new thinking about how to make movies that could be significant. Where the people would say, you know what, I'm really glad I saw that movie. I mean, how many movies have you gone to lately that you can say, you know what, that was worth seeing?
Yeah, not very many, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
Kind of sad, huh, when you think about it. For all the money that's being spent.
They're few and far between.
Exactly. Let's talk Gemini Man, Will Smith's movie.
Yeah, you know, if you've seen the trailer, you pretty much know what to expect here. This is a story about a hitman with a conscience, and he works for the U.S. government. So he's, you know, he's a, quote, good, unquote, hitman. Mm-hmm. And he's tired. He's done 72 assassinations. He's ready to hang it up. But he knows too much. And so the government creates a clone of him that's 25 years younger and sends the clone after him to kill him. And again, if you have seen the trailer, you know pretty much what to expect here. It's PG-13 level of violence. There's one kind of gratuitous scene where a woman takes most of her clothes off that really was unnecessary. And I, you know, you can make the argument that it's always unnecessary, but I think in a PG-13 actioner, it's just like, you know, they had a brainstorming session and said, well, how can we make this thing just a little nastier, mm-hmm. a little spicier?
How can we get somebody to take their clothes off? Okay, well, let's roll cameras and
stuff. That's original,
there used to be a guy in New York, believe it or not, and that was his cable show. He'd run around, you know, the streets of New York, and he would get women to go in the alley and take their clothes off, and he would videotape them. And it was amazing. He wasn't lacking for any subjects.
Wow.
For the sake of being on television. So, hey, TV, and or if you can be on the big screen even more so, I guess. We are a bizarre society, no doubt about it. Jexy, we got about 30 seconds left.
You know, Jexy, this is an R-rated comedy that's just full of foul, foul stuff. Honestly, there's not much more to say about it than that.
Save your money.
Don't go see Jexy.
Exactly. Focus on the families. Adam Holtz, I'm Bill Martinez Live. Adam, where can they go for more information?
You can come to PluggedIn.com. Not
hey,
only for Bubsy.
Hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame he owed money to the IRS and they finally caught up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world. Bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000 plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930. 800-590-4930. That's 800-590-4930.
Hi, this